Blog Talk Radio.
Sounds of the Living Water Radio Show. Sounds of the Living Water. Sounds of the Living Water. Sounds of the Living Water Radio Show.
We teach the Bible from Genesis to Revelation. Preach the gospel unto the scattered nations. So many people are lost, it's time to be awakened. Come out of this world, it's ran by Satan. Through the Most High's laws, flee from things pagan. Understanding the word of Yah is really breathtaking. Under His love and covering is so amazing. Thank you each day, so now let's praise Him. Do things in unity, you and me. You wanna know what we talking about? Come and see. It's time to be deeply rooted up like a tree. You want the truth, it will set you free.
Sounds of the living water. Sounds of the living water. Sounds of the Living Water Radio Show. Sounds of the Living Water. Sounds of the Living Water. Sounds of the Living Water Radio Show. Sounds of the Living Water. Sounds of the Living Water. Sounds of the Living Water Radio Show. Sounds of the Living Water. Sounds of the Living Water. Sounds of the Living Water Radio Show.
Shalom, shalom, everyone. Grace and peace in Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Asha Shabbat.
Grace and peace, brother. Grace and peace.
Grace and peace, Israel. Grace and peace, brother. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Grace and peace, everyone. Welcome to another episode of the Sounds of Living Waters. I'm Job Israel, here with my beautiful real rare Israel, of the Commonwealth of Israel. And tonight is Thursday night. And Thursday night we have the Spirit of Meekness and Charity Bible Study Class with your brother Isaiah Brown, coming straight out of Peoria, Illinois. And tonight we inform his brother Nakomi Swanson of the Nation of Peace, out of right here in the Twin Cities, the Nation of Peace of Israelites. So
I love you, Isaiah tonight, Brown.
Hey, grace and peace.
Grace and peace.
Grace and peace.
Yeah, there. Okay, bro. What's up with you?
So, with that being said, the precept tonight, in the midst where Satan dwelleth in the Garden of Eden. In the midst where Satan dwelleth in the Garden of Eden. Now, wait a minute. In the midst of the garden where Satan dwell. Okay. All right. That's a thought in itself. In the midst of the garden, in the midst where Satan dwelleth in the Garden of Eden. Now the serpent was more, now Genesis 3 and 1, 3, it said, now the serpent was more subtile than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, yea, have God said, you should not eat of every tree of the garden? And the woman said unto the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, you should not eat of it, neither shall you touch it, lest ye die.
For the greatest weed alive. Go ahead. I'm sorry, man. I tried to slow it down.
Perfect. I'm giving some theater. So, feel free, everybody, to listen, call in. If you got any questions, press 1. Everybody that's listening, please mute your phone so that we don't hear your backgrounds. Also, we don't want to have to mute everybody's line because we want everybody to participate if you got a question for the host. So please mute your lines. And I just ought to respect your neighbors so that they can hear the lesson without being disturbed by you or me. So, with that being said, we love you, Isaiah.
Amen.
Turning this over, we going to turn it over to my brother, Isaiah Brown. Shalom, Israelite.
Hey, shalom, shalom, family, grace, and peace in Jesus. Hallelujah. That's all like Joe right now. But grace and peace, family. My name is Brother Isaiah. I bring a lesson tonight. And my reading tonight is Brother Nakomi, a.k.a. Lil Israel, always bringing that kingdom state of mind. Will be reading from me tonight. I'm so excited. I just finished my first cover for my first purchase for my book. Just finished it. It's called. I just decided to call it Samson, and I finally got my writing editor on his name on the book too. So it's a beautiful day, long day today, but it's beautiful, and the Father's merciful because the book is finished. Now I can move on to other things. But grace and peace, family. Thank you for tuning in to another Bible Blog Talk radio show that is called the Spirit of Meekness and Charity. And tonight we're dealing with a meek lesson. You know, I deal with a lot of meekness and charity, but tonight we're just going to deal with a little bit of the meat. It's because if you've been on my Blog Talk show, I've been spoiling y'all to death on how to love one another and stuff like that. But the name of the precept, again, is called In the Mist Where Satan Dwelled in the Garden of Eden. One more time. In the mist where Satan dwelled in the Garden of Eden. It's because the crazy part about it is that, you know, when you once it's like, man, the Bible is infinite. There's no such thing that you just read something one time and just don't look at it again. You can read one thing and the Most High can show you 152 meanings in that one part. To show you that this thing is infinite. Like, for example, a couple of months ago, we looked up the word do well. That gives you a multitude of precepts itself. But when you get your glossary and when you start to look these words up by yourself, you know what I'm saying, and really buckle down to see what these words mean, you have precepts for days. You know, so the Most High brought something to my attention with this precept. You know, and it was a conversation that Eve was having with Satan the devil. You know, and when she broke this thing down, a light bulb popped in my head. My Bible OCD was out of control. I must have texted. Well, I had a new phone, so I wasn't able to text Job out of my new phone because I didn't get a chance to put his information down up in it. So I texted Sister Red, like, hey, Sister Red, where Job at? Where Job at? I need to talk to him about this matter. You know, it was a beautiful thing. And if you agree with it, praise God. If you don't believe in it, hey, praise God anyway. You know, everybody has their own opinion on things because the Lord gave us all a different, you know, the Lord gave us a different understanding. That should mean the same, but if it don't, hey, I'm just throwing it on the table to see what y'all think about it. But that's enough of me talking. I'm about to get into the Lord's Prayer, and then Brother McCormick can read whatever the Father put on his heart. So all sisters, please cover your head. All brothers, please uncover your head. And if possible, please face east toward Jerusalem so we can pray in. After this manner, therefore, pray ye, our Father which art in heaven. Hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thine will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever. In Jesus' precious, righteous, holy name we pray. Amen.
Amen. And wisdom was with thee, which know the works, and was present when thou madest the world, and knew what was acceptable in thy sight, and right in thy commandments. O, send her out of thy holy heavens, and from the throne of thy glory, that being present she may labor with me, that I may know what is pleasing unto thee. For she knoweth and understandeth all things, and she shall lead me soberly in my doings, and preserve me in her power. So shall my works be acceptable, and then shall I judge thy people righteously, and be worthy to sit in my Father's seat. For what man is he that can know the counsel of God, or who can think what the will of the Lord is? For the thoughts of mortal man are miserable, and our devices are but uncertain. For the corruptible body presses down the soul, and the earthy tabernacle weigheth down the mind that muses upon many things. And hardly do we guess aright at things that are upon earth, and with labor do we find the things that are before us. But the things that are in heaven, who hath searched out? And thy counsel hath known, except thou give wisdom and send thy Holy Spirit from above. For so the ways of them which live on the earth were formed, and men were taught the things that are pleasing unto thee, and were saved through wisdom. I have read Wisdom of Solomon, chapter 9, verses 9 through 18. May the Lord bless the reading of his word in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen, 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 bro. Great script out of Apophica.
Amen.
Thank you as always, brother. Thank you as always. Well, as usual on this precept, it is time for us to take these scriptures off the shreds. And, you know, as usual, it's pure razor blades of lemon juice. We're talking about pain. But this precept is just to open our minds up just to something a little bit more. You know, when the Lord just show you something so small, it's like you thought you understood it, but he just throw you a little bit more up in there that can just blow your mind beyond recognition. You know, and it's, you know, it's a beautiful thing, very beautiful thing. But the name of the precept, just in case we have any new more listeners coming in, the name of the precept is called In the Mist Where Satan Dwelled in the Garden of Eden. So we're going to get an understanding of this mist. We're going to get an understanding. We will see if we can get a better understanding on how the devil was able to talk to Eve and how he convinced Eve. But how he was able to talk to Eve and convince Eve, according to her words, she had to approach him because he was in the midst of the garden. So if he's in the midst, if she said that we could eat of the fruits that's in the tree of the garden, but the fruit of the trees which are in the midst of the garden, thou hast said. So that means that this tree was in the midst of the garden. So, matter of fact, I spoiled you guys enough. Before we get into anything, we need to break a couple of things down before we get into the scriptures. So what we're going to do is go into the book of Proverbs chapter 1 and read verse 5. Is because in order for us to even get an understanding like this, or for the Lord to open our minds up in general, we need to respect something. So let's put some respect on this book. We're in the book of Proverbs chapter 1, and all we need is verse 5. When you get it, bro, go ahead and read.
Proverbs chapter 1 and 5. A wise man will hear and will increase learning, and a man of understanding shall attain unto wise counsel.
Amen. So it said a wise man will hear what? The word of God, and will increase in learning. So when you hear the word of God, you obey the word of God, and you study the word of God, what is it going to do? You're going to increase in learning. And a man of understanding shall attain unto wise counsels. Praise God. Now, how do the Lord give us this increase in knowledge? Let's find out. Let's go to the book of Job chapter 33, verse 14. We just hit up a couple of spots before we narrow down to the big picture. So we're in the book of Job chapter 33. The book of Job chapter 33. And what we're going to do is pick this bad boy up at verses 14. The book of Job chapter 33, read verses 14 through 17. You get it, boo, what the book say?
Job 33:14.
Job 33, verses 14 through 17.
Okay, 14 through 17. For God speaketh once, yea, twice, yet man perceive it not. In a dream, in a vision of the night, when deep sleep falleth upon man, in slumberings upon the bed, then he openeth the ears of man, and sealeth their instruction, that he may withdraw man from his purpose, and hide pride from man.
Amen. So now we understand that a wise man will hear and he will increase in learning. And how the Lord increases in our learning is how he do it. He'll do it in a dream. He'll do it in a vision. He'll do it in the vision of the night. When you knocked out, slumbering in sleep, he'll open up your instructions. Then he opened the ears of men and sealed their instructions. So that's what I was doing. Even though I wasn't sleeping, but I didn't have a book with me. So, you know, I'm just out and about to stick the scriptures, you know, probably do an old lesson that I used to pop in and do one of you guys' lessons, and definitely I've been looking at a lot of Paul lessons, you know, and just chilling back and just relaxing, doing my job and stuff like that. And then out of nowhere, it just popped in my head. Like, wow, hold on, where'd I come from? So I am in the living proof that this is how the Most High opened up his instruction to man and woman. He sealed up their instructions through a vision and a dream and the deep sleep when you're knocked out sleep and you're slumbering. Then he gives you his instructions. So now we understand how the Most High gave us his instructions, and if we hear his words, he's going to increase our words. He's going to increase our knowledge. So let's see if the Lord increased the knowledge with this precept. So the name of the precept again is called "In the Midst Where Satan Dwelled in the Garden of Eden." So what we're going to do is break down when he got kicked out, where he is now, where is he at in Eden. Let's check this stuff out. So first, let's go to the book of Revelation chapter 12, and we're going to pick it up at verse 7. The book of Revelation chapter 12, and we're going to pick it up at verse 7. And we're going to read verses 7 through 11. And when you get it, bro, go ahead and read.
Revelation chapter 12, starting at the 7. And there was war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon. And the dragon fought and his angels and prevailed not. Neither was their place found any more in heaven. And the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceived the whole world. He was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. And I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now is come salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ. For the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before our God day and night. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, and they lived not their lives until the death. They love not their lives until the death.
And read verse 12.
Therefore rejoice ye heavens, and ye that dwell in them. Woe to the inhabitants of the earth and of the sea, for the devil is come down unto you, having great wrath, because he knoweth that he hath but a short time.
So understanding the first thing about this devil that was kicked out of heaven, him and a third of the angels, understand that he has great wrath because he know he has a short time. So whatever he's doing, no matter how clever he get, remember, before you slip and fall, he has great wrath, and he's doing everything in his power to kill every last one of us. That's his mission. That's his job. That's his goal, to get as many of us to slip and fall, so we don't get that prize at the coming of the Most High. So what we just understand is that it was war in heaven. He lost. He got kicked out. But woe unto us, because they did their part. They was worthy enough to stay in the kingdom in the third heaven. But woe unto us. Now we got to fight this flesh and to not listen to him, or obey his words that's coming out of his mouth. But do we do that? That's the question. But building the story back up, let's go into the book of Luke chapter 10. So we understand that the devil was kicked out of, because what I want to build his story up before we get into the lesson. So we just understood that he got kicked out of heaven. He no longer dwell in heaven no more. And he know he has nothing but a short time. Well, who ordered this thing to happen? We're in the book of Luke chapter 10, and we're going to read verses 17 and 18. The book of Luke chapter 10, verses 17 through 18. When you get it, bro, go ahead and read.
Luke chapter 10.
Mm-hmm.
17. And the 17th returned again with joy, saying, Lord, even the devils are subject unto us through thy name. And he said unto them, I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven.
So just getting a better understanding of this is that the Lord is the one that got him kicked out, and he was there. It's just not something that just popped up in the New Testament. He has always been here. He gave the call for him to get kicked out of heaven. Let's understand, so we understand it. And when he got kicked out of heaven, what was his words that came out of his mouth? Let's go to the book of Isaiah chapter 14. Let's pick it up at verse 12. The book of Isaiah chapter 14, we're going to pick it up at verse 12, and we're going to read verses 12 through 18.
Isaiah 14 and 12.
Isaiah 14, verses 12 through 18.
Isaiah chapter 14, starting at the 12. How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground, which didst weaken the nations? For thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. Yet thou shalt be brought down to hell, to the sides of the pit. They that see thee shall narrowly look upon thee and consider thee, saying, Is this the man that made the earth to tremble? That did shake kingdoms, that made the world as a wilderness, and destroyed the cities thereof, that opened not the house of the prisoners. All the kings of the nations, even all of them, lie in glory, every one in his own house.
So in order, so when this spirit, when this devil, all he had to do was convince Eve to talk to him. And when that happened, this is what was able to happen with his wrath. He made the world as a wilderness and destroyed cities thereof that opened not the house of the prisoners. And all the kings of the nations, even all of them, lie in glory, every one in his own house. So these were the things he was able to do when that conversation started out, when we disobeyed God. But just getting back with the story, just building it up. When he got kicked out of heaven, then you seen all this pride, you seen all this wrath, and you seen all of this vain that came out of his mouth. Nothing glorious about this spirit. But this is what happened. So now let's go into the book of Genesis chapter 2. In the book of Genesis chapter 2. And now let's pick up this story.
Hold on 1 second.
Yep, okay, good. So I just wanted to start us out with those things, so just in case we have any new listeners of what's going on. So now let's get into the story of in the midst where Satan dwelled in the Garden of Eden. So now right now we're going into the book of Genesis chapter 2 just to pick up the creation a little bit. The book of Genesis chapter 2, verses 16 through 18. When you get it broke, go ahead and read.
Okay, you said chapter 2, verses
16 through 18.
16 through 18.
Mm-hmm.
And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, Of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day that thou eatest thereof thou shalt surely die. And the Lord God said, It is not good that the man should be alone. I will make him a helpmeet for him.
So just get the understanding of this precept. The Lord made Adam and Eve. He made the heaven. He made the earth. The whole thing. But when you read the Bible, what it simply said is that And the Lord commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat, but of the tree of knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day that thou eatest thereof thou shalt surely die. So when you read this book and understand the metaphor that the Lord is showing, he's not talking about a literal tree that he's telling them to stay away from, because we understand that this tree of knowledge of good and evil is Satan the devil himself. The Lord is just simply saying to stay away from him. But where was he? Was he just wandering around in the Garden of Eden? Or did he have a domain? But before we get to that, we need to understand more about this woman. The book just said to stay away from him. Stay away from this tree of knowledge of good and evil. Plain and simple. But in order for this thing to talk to Eve, let me see. Okay, I make something up over here. Let me scratch this out. I'm reading the wrong thing. So the book of Genesis chapter 2, verses 16 through 18, just simply the Lord said to stay away from them. But what we're going to do now is go into the book of Ecclesiastes chapter 4. It's because in order for it to work, to stay away from this spirit, in order for it to work, something got to happen. We're in the book of Ecclesiastes chapter 4, and we're going to read verses 9 to 10. Hold on one second. We're in the book of Ecclesiastes. I'm chopping this thing up. Yeah, excuse me. Please excuse me. The book of Ecclesiastes chapter 4, and we're going to read verses 9 and 10.
Ecclesiastes 4, starting at the 9.
Uh-huh.
Two are better than one, because they have a good reward for their labor. But if they fall, the one will lift up his fellow. But woe to him that is alone when he falleth, for he has not another to help him up.
Oh, so that's how he got the whole thing started off. The whole thing is what can I do to separate them? Because two are better than one, because they have a good reward for their labor. For if they fall, the one will lift up his fellow, but woe to him that is alone. So the best way to get this folly started off is that he got to get her alone. Not saying that he did that, but I don't know what happened for Adam and Eve to chop it, just to be separated anyway in that time. I don't know that part, but it's obvious when we get to chapter 3, we all know that he was talking to her alone. But remember, two is better than one. Because it seemed like she was weak in the flesh. Well, it seemed like she was weak. That's how he was able to get her. But the whole thing is this right here. If y'all are together, then he can't do nothing. But if y'all separated, now that's his chance. But woe to him that is alone when he falleth, for he hath not another to help him up. So let's be mindful of that. So now let's go into the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 11. So it was obvious she wasn't around it was obvious that Eve wasn't around Adam. But we just understood that, you know, two is better than one. Because if you slip and you got the other one to help you up. But if you're there alone, then woe unto you. So we're in the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 11. So where did Eve leave? What didn't she have anymore? We're in the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 1. When you get it, go ahead and read.
1 Corinthians chapter 11, starting at the 1. Be ye followers of me, even as I also am of Christ. Now I praise you, brethren, that you remember me in all things and keep the ordinances as I deliver them to you. But I would have you know that the head of every man is Christ, and the head of the woman is the man, and the head of Christ is God.
So now we just got the protocol. We just read that two is better than one. Because if you fall, you got one to lift you up. So whatever was going on that Eden cell for Adam to be so far away from his wife, who knows? But she was by herself. The book said two is better than one. And we just read the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 1 through 3. It says, but I would have you know that the head of every man is Christ, and the head of the woman is the man, and the head of Christ is God. Right now, we just learned the protocol. This is the protocol. And when we're talking about this head, the women got to understand that this head, her head covered is her man. So when she was talking to this serpent, her head covered wasn't around her. The protocol. Go ahead and read.
Verse 4. Every man praying or prophesying having his head covered dishonoreth his head. But every woman that prayeth or prophesieth with her head uncovered dishonoreth her head. For that is even all one as if she were shaven. For if the woman be not covered, let her also be shown. But if it be a shame for a woman to be shown or shaven, let her be covered. For a man indeed ought not to cover his head, for as much as he is the image and glory of God, but the woman is the glory of the man. For the man is not of the woman, but the woman of the man. Neither was the man created for the woman, but the woman for the man.
Go ahead.
For this cause ought the woman to have power on her head because of the angels. Nevertheless.
Oh, that's all we need, bro. So we understand that the protocol, the Father's over Christ. Then you got the protocol that the Christ is the head covering of man, and the head covering of a woman is her husband. Her husband wasn't around her. But the whole thing is that, given this even a more metaphor, is that it says in verse 10 that for this cause ought the woman to have power on her head because of the angels. So you got to make sure that you're covered. So what happened when she was not with her covering? It's the next question. Let's find out. Well, let's go to the book of Genesis chapter 3. Now, we're in the book of Genesis chapter 3, and all we need, because we're going to be in the Genesis chapter 3 all day, all we need is Genesis 3 verses 1 through 3. That's all we need. When you get it, bro, go ahead and read.
Genesis chapter 3, starting at the 1. Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, yea, hath God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden? And the woman said unto the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God hath said, ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die.
Now, that just opened up Bible OCD on a whole new level. Now, I'm about to read this. Great reading, but let me just go ahead. I'm about to read this how I will read. Like, let me see for a second. It says verse 3. Well, verse 1. Now, serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, yea, have God said, ye shall eat of every tree of the garden? So it's obvious that he's talking to her, but he's not talking to Adam, because Adam isn't there. Verse 2. And the woman said unto the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God had said, ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. So let's look up this word mist to get an understanding of this word mist. This is the definition of mist. Mist is a noun. Haze, fog, smoke, cloud, drizzle. So, I don't know how this thing looked, but if it said that he was in the midst, mist is nothing but like a cloud, like a fog or a smoke or something like that, or even called a cloud or a fog. That means, I could be wrong, but to me that means that you got the Garden of Eden and you got a fog over somewhere else that you're not supposed to be going. Because if he's in the midst of that garden, if the devil was in the midst of that garden, that means she had to linger from her dwelling place with her husband to go over there where he was at. It's like, for example, I'm putting this in the modern term. God made Chicago, Illinois, right? And the good parts he wanted to stay in is downtown Chicago. You know, you got Erie Street, you got the Navy Pier, you got the Sears Tower and all the other towers down there. You know, you got the sand. You know, if you want to go swimming, go swimming. You know, if you want something to eat, go get you something to eat. So let's look at it this way. I created this downtown Chicago for you and your husband. Stay away from 75th Street. Because 75th Street is where all the ruckus is at, and if you go over there, you go die. So in order for it to be a problem, that means that Eve must have, just use this in my own term, Eve must have caught the bus down to 95th Street, hopped on the red line, she hopped on the red line first, went to 95th Street, took the bus to 75th Street, or probably stopped at 74th Street just enough to look around and got caught up slipping. Because if it said that it was in the midst of the garden, that means that he was in another domain. She had to go to him. I could be wrong. I'm not saying believe nothing I'm saying. I'm just looking at this thing and trying to reason, like a family. Because she simply said, of the fruit of the tree, verse 3, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God hath said, ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. So it's obvious that whatever midst he was among, that was his domain. And she had to go over there to him. That's why he read them other scriptures about two was better than one, and how a woman's handcuffing is her husband. She wasn't around her husband, and she must have lingered far away from the Garden of Eden. Just sharing a thought, not telling you to believe nothing I'm saying. Because to read the definition again, it said it's a haze, it's a fog, it's a smoke, it's a cloud, it's a brizzle. So it had to be some type of mist in that garden, a cloudy pillar mist. So they know exactly how far they can go and far they cannot go. But she's talking to this thing, so it's obvious that she was in the midst of that garden. But let's get a more understanding of this mist and this cloudy pillar. Let's go to the book of Acts chapter 13. Now, let's look at this curse that Paul put on by Jesus, the sorcerer, after he was lingering around trying to talk crazy or whatever. But Paul caught on to this man, and Paul prayed for something for this man to happen. And let's see if it's something similar to what we just read in the book of Genesis chapter 3, verses 3. So we're in the book of Acts chapter 13. We're in the book of Acts chapter 13, and we're going to read verses 1 through 2, and then we're going to skip. Acts 13, verses 1 through 2. When you get it broke, go ahead and read.
13, starting at the 1. Now there were in the church that was at Antioch certain prophets and teachers as Barnabas and Simon that was called Niger, and Lucius of Cyrene, and man a knee which had been brought up with Herod the tetrarch and Saul.
Uh-huh.
As they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Ghost said, separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I have called them.
Amen. So now we just got to understand what's going on. We're not here for that. Skip down to verse 6. And we're going to read verses 6 through 11.
And when they had gone through the isles of Paphos, they found a certain sorcerer, a false prophet, a Jew whose name was Bar-Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
Which was with the deputy of the country, Sergius Paulus, a prudent man, who called for Barnabas and Saul and desired to hear the word of God. But Elymas, the sorcerer, for so is his name by interpretation, which stood in, seeking to turn away the deputy from the faith. Then Saul, who also is called Paul, filled with the Holy Ghost, set his eye on him and said, O fool of all subtlety and all mischief, thou child of the devil, thou enemy of all righteousness, wilt thou not cease to pervert the right ways of the Lord? And now, behold, the hand of the Lord is upon thee, and thou shalt be blind, not seeing the sun for a season. And immediately there fell on him a mist and a darkness, and he went about seeking some to lead him by the hand.
Then so now we just got a better understanding of this mist right here. Now it says darkness. So now we just got more of this right here. It says that, going back to the definition, it called it a haze, a fog, a smog, a cloud, a bristle. And now it said, and what Paul said was in verse 11, and now behold, the hand of the Lord is upon thee, and thou shalt be blind, not seeing the sun for a season. And immediately there fell on him a mist and a darkness, and he went about seeking some to lead him by the hand. So now we're learning more about this mist. Is this what's the type of mist that was in the Garden of Eden? So we know exactly how far we can go. Because in that mist, Satan the devil dwelled. Going back to Eve. And I'm be saying this all night. She said, we may eat of the fruits of the tree of the garden. But that fruit that's in the midst of the tree of the garden, and we all know that that is Satan the devil in the metaphor. God has said, you should not touch it, lest you die. So was that a domain? Was that a mist? Was that a direction to show them this is how far you go? Because in that mist is where that serpent is at? I don't know. Who knows? Just bring some on the table just to think a little bit. Now, let's read some more about this mist. Let's go to the book of 2 Peter chapter 2. And we got to slow down a little bit, bro. I didn't know what he was doing. You're doing some amazing reading. We're going a little too fast. I might start talking some more. And now we're in the book of 2 Peter. Now let's read about how the Lord said how he's going to deal with wicked people. We're in the book of 2 Peter chapter 2, and all we want is verse 17. Because on y'all time you can read the whole verse, it's just the Lord talking about wicked people and like false, you know, like, you know, that about false prophets in the land and stuff like that. And many shall follow their wicked ways and stuff. But we're not here for that. We're here to get a more understanding of this word mist. So in the book of 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 17, just that one verse, when you get it, bro, go ahead and read.
2 Peter 2:17. These are whales without water, clouds that are carried with a tempest, to whom the mist of darkness is reserved forever.
Hey, so it's saying the exact same thing from the book of Acts chapter 13, verses 6 through 11. and talk about a dark mist. So in order for the devil to lure her more, excuse me one second. Nope, not that, not that, not that, not that. Let me see. We might not have to read that one. I think this one out of line. This normally don't happen. So we'll come back to that one. I didn't write nothing down for this one. So let's go on the, so now let's go right back into the book of Genesis chapter 3. And what we're going to do is pick this thing back up at verses 1 through 6.
Genesis chapter 3, starting at the 1. Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, yea, have God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden. And the woman said unto the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. And the serpent said unto the woman, ye shall not surely die, for God doeth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof, and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat.
So, but for any of this eating to happen with these words, for anything to happen, it's according to this precept, is that she had to go into the midst of the garden to get that information. She had to go into the midst of the garden to get that information. But if she did not go into the midst of the garden, then she wouldn't have gotten this information. Because a lot of us was taught, well, I'm not going to say y'all, well, I thought and I was taught that Satan the devil came to her. But if she said that this thing was in the midst of the garden, then it's obvious that she had to go to the midst of the garden to talk to him. So it's, to me, it seemed like she went and found the trouble, because I was told, or I thought that trouble found her because Adam wasn't around. But reading this, it seemed like she left her head covering, probably linked off somewhere else, and went and found the trouble. So it's like that metaphor earlier I was saying, that she must have been on the bus, hopped up, she must have been on the train, called the train down to 95th Street, called the 95th down to the 75th Street in Halsted, and found the trouble, it seemed like. Because in order for you to talk to someone that's in the midst, you had to go over there, because the Lord simply said, don't go to this midst of this garden. Because in the midst of that garden is where that fruit of knowledge and good and evil is laying. That metaphor is Satan the devil. So it seemed like she must have walked over there to him. This whole time I was looking at it as if Satan found her because Adam wasn't around. But to me it seemed like she left Adam and she went and found him. The tree of knowledge and good and evil. So I'm like, hold up. So I'm not telling nobody to believe me, and you know, I'm almost getting, we only got about three or four left. And I can't wait to open up the mic and just to put your input on this, because, you know, we family, you know. If it's all the way up to you, then, hey, praise God, you know, hey, just throw it on the table. Who knows? But that's what we do. We just throw things on the table and see how it go. But just to get back into the story, that's what it seemed like to me. It seemed like that she went and found him because she knew where he was at. Instead of saying the devil leaving the midst of the garden and going to find her. It seemed like it was vice versa. But how did he come to her, though? How did he come to her? Let's go to the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 11, and all we want is verse 14. So when she went up to this miss, how do you think he talked to her? Did he talk to her with that wrath he had in the book of Revelations, or did he come to her being phony? Let's find out. Let's go in the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 14. And now we want us that one verse.
2 Corinthians 11, 14. And no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light.
And you got it. So he don't come to you with that wrath when he got, when he got flipped and kicked out. He ain't come with that wrath. He came to her like as if he was an angel of light. But since we got time, so if he came to her like an angel of light with his words, let's see how this angel looked so we understand more about this tree of knowledge of good and evil that's in the midst of the garden. Let's go to the book of Ezekiel chapter 28. And we're going to pick up verse 11. This is not part of it, but we got time so we can read this too. We're in the book of Ezekiel chapter 28, and we're going to read verses 11 to 14. Yeah, that's all we need. 11 through 14, the book of Ezekiel chapter 28, verses 11 through 14. When you get it, bro, go ahead and read.
Ezekiel chapter 28, starting at 11. Moreover, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, take up a lamentation upon the king of Tyrus, and say unto him, Thus saith the Lord God, Thou seal up the sum full of wisdom and perfect in beauty. Thou hast been in Eden, the garden of God. Every precious stone was thy covering, the sardis, topaz, and the diamond, the beryl, the oxen, and the jasper, the sapphire, and the emerald, and the carbuncle and gold, the workmanship of thy tabards and of thy pipes was prepared in thee in the day that thou was created. Thou art the anointed cherub that covereth, and I have set thee so. Thou was upon the holy mountain of God. Thou hast walked up and down in the midst of the stones of fire.
Amen, 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 amen. Now I want to see something right here. Because I just seen something. Might be adding something, I might be taking something off. Because if I'm wrong on this one, I need to fix this. Okay. We're going to read one more spot because I did something wrong with my precept, moving too fast. I did something wrong. What we're going to do, we're going to read one more. Let's go in the book of 1 Timothy chapter 2. And just let you guys know, I will be doing this lesson again next week because I just picked out something that I see that I did wrong. We're going to do one more spot, the book of 1 Timothy chapter 2. And this is the last one. The book of 1 Timothy chapter 2. We're going to read 1 Timothy chapter 2, and we're going to read verses 13 through 14, and that'll be it.
1 Timothy chapter 2, starting at 13. For Adam was first formed, then Eve. And Adam was not deceived, but the woman being deceived was in the transgression.
Hey, man, that's not saying that. Ain't nobody better than nobody. You know, mistakes happen. And that's the name of the precept, in the midst where Satan dwelled in the Garden of Eden. Now, thank y'all for your time.
Amen, bro.
I moved too fast. I'm sorry. I moved way too fast. I'm not doing that no more. And I'm sorry. I might as well fix this right now, you guys. I'm so sorry. It's because I was supposed to have two definitions. So that's why I kept stopping, going back and forth. In the book of Genesis chapter 3, it said mists. So it's M-I-D-S-T. And that's the middle of the garden.
Right.
But then when I was doing my research and I was reading, I wasn't paying attention and picked up some words that said mist. So even though, so mist is not supposed to even be in this precept. So I'm like, hold up. Because I was so busy. I was so busy today and I was just going through it. You know what I'm saying? My mom was telling me, take your time, read this right. Take your time, read this right. I'm like, all right, I know what I'm doing. So I'm going to put some stuff together. And end up getting the wrong ones. So, no pride in my heart. I meant to say I apologize. But instead of it saying Mr. the Garden, all it was saying is that he was in a – let me get the definition right here. The definition is M-I-D-S-T is middle, center, heart, core, midpoint, nub, thick. So that's the definition of mist. So I'm going to do this precept again. I just – was being hard-headed and trying to do this thing myself without doing the full proper research that I normally do. So I apologize, you guys.
It's okay, bro.
Oh, amen.
It's all good. You know, man, I was in where you was at, Jack, because I felt that, man, you know, that she had to actually leave and willfully – you know, the Most High is amazing, man, because I'm listening to it and I'm saying to myself, you know what I'm saying, wow, you have to willfully leave the presence of the Lord to be disobedient.
Amen. Right. Mm-hmm.
Because when you look at it, man, he's telling you and he's telling us that we dwell in the shadow of the Almighty, right?
Mm-hmm.
And if you're keeping his commandments, that's where you are. But the minute you are disobedient and you leave the shadow of the Almighty, what are you doing?
Leaving your
cover. That's physical and spiritual. Right. You going to the tree. You obeying the tree. You following the tree of knowledge of good and evil. And the Lord tell you that's a point of no return. You know, he said when you go that route, man, you can either end up dead or you're going to receive a mark forever or, you know, it's going to cost. The blood got to be shed. You know, so it's a deep set, man. I was in on it, man. But, yeah, you're going to do it again. I feel you, man. If you feel like you need to come more correct, then I say bring it.
Oh, yeah, man. It could, no, because this lesson was supposed to be, well, you know, the Lord blessed me to do a lot of good lessons. Well, all of them, you know. But the thing is that I normally have my strong concordance. I'm about to go ahead and flip this laptop over because usually I was looking at the definitions on the laptop when it came to the scriptures, you know, and definitions. But when I was looking at the definitions in the Bible,
can I say something?
You know what I'm saying? Oh, go ahead. Go ahead.
I don't. I mean, you know, it's a nice lesson for you to revisit. But even though you did, you said myths and mist. It really does not negate the fact that he wanted her to eat from his tree. So, you know, you really wasn't that far off. You know what I mean? Because it was two trees. One was good and one was evil. And we know he wanted her to eat from his tree. So he really was not that far off. I mean, you know, other than, you know what I mean? It don't negate the fact that in the midst, where it was those two trees, but he got her to eat from his tree.
Mm-hmm.
It was about Satan, right? I mean, the topic was about Satan, right?
Mm-hmm.
Shalom.
Shalom, they call me. Oh yeah, thanks, Liz. Yeah, thanks, Liz, for the input. I appreciate it.
I want you to check this out, y'all. You right. You got to go to it. Now Jesus did this in Matthew chapter 4, and I tell people this all the time, that we can't think we so much stronger than the devil. Now, when you read chapter 4, it said, then Jesus was led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be sent. So the Spirit had him go to where? Where Satan was, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And then Jesus, now this is something that we do, and I tell people this all the time. Now, when Satan came, did Jesus go with him? Yes. He took the walk. But guess what? He didn't participate. Eve participated in the entertainment. Jesus wouldn't do it. And I say myself, don't you find yourself where somewhere you ain't supposed to be? And I'm like, oh, Lord, I ain't supposed to be here. Am I going to participate or am I going to walk away?
Right.
And Jesus, he followed, the devil took him and took him. You can take the walk. He took the walk, but she could have said no, like Jesus did. She could have said, I ain't going to participate. I'm not going to entertain this. So sometimes you can take the walk. Jesus took the walk. But is you going to participate? I'm just seeing if y'all see that how you can see that pattern. Because I'm a person that pay attention to patterns. You can take a walk with the devil, but is you going to participate in whatever he's presenting to you?
Wow. Can I ask you a question? Just hypothetically, can I ask you a question? Do you think that he would have been able to trick Adam?
No, it's all set up as something like that. Everything is about patterns. No.
Right. That's the right answer. Okay. Thank you.
No. The gift of righteousness, you got, I'm saying, in order to deal, the righteous is strong. In order for you to deal with the righteous, he has to use somebody close to you. He got to use people, places, and things close to the righteous to get the righteous. Just like King David had him saying King Solomon, you got to use the people. I'm saying Samson, you got to use the people that's closest to you to try to bring you down to deal with the righteous. But with that, I yield the mic. Great lesson, great outlook. I hope you fix it up and get it, you know, more better, bro. Bring it out more clear. Great lesson, brother. Great lesson.
Oh, hey man, it's gonna be more clear this time because you know what? I think the Lord threw a rock in my head. See, didn't I just tell you just to search this thing out a little bit more? I gave it to you. You know, but I'm really, I had a good time. It was beautiful. It was a beautiful lesson. You know, it's just that, you know, man, you know, like, you know, me and the Elder Joe was talking about it, you know. But all you do is just switch some words up. Like, for example, it said that in verses 3, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden. So, like, so instead of saying a mist like a smoke, all he to say is mist as in middle. He was in the middle of the garden. Because mist is nothing but of the middle. Or half and half. Right in between. So instead of saying the mist and grabbing those scriptures, all I do is go around that mist and just use the stuff that I had. So that was like the only issue I had, but just to get that back together. But like I said before, that's why. But I know that the metaphor was right on point. You know about the Lord made downtown Chicago for Adam and Eve, you know, but stay away from 75th and Austin, you know. But in order for that to happen, right? In order for it to happen, she had to leave her domain. That part was right on. I just had to make sure that I do that other part right. But I'm glad you guys enjoyed it. I get a mic.
Man, is like, well, once again, hey, bro, you got to come back with this, man. You got to finish this precept, Jack, because you got us all juicy now, you know what I mean? You got us all, like, you know, salivating. So we got to finish this one, Jack. So we're going to hold you to this drama And, you know, if you could finish this here precept, man, because be honest about it, you know, I never heard anybody ever address this in this light, you know, that you have to leave the presence of the Most High. I never heard anybody bring that, man. So you got to come back, Jack. You got to finish this up, you know, because that's a serious conversation among – you got to plant that seed. Why? Because a lot of us don't realize, man, we – as long as we keep in the commandments, we are in the shadow of the Most High. But you can't come out the shadow of the Most High and then dwell with the devil and then come back. He don't operate like that. You leave the shadow of the Most High, you caught up, and your life is could be on the line. Ask Adam and Eve. Ever since then, man been dying, and they died for that.
I was scrolling, and I seen the topic. I was like, oh, look, I'm calling in on this one. You know what I mean? It's a good topic. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
When I seen that, when I was like, oh, I'm calling in.
You think I can come back tonight and finish it? Do anybody got anything going on? Can I come back tomorrow night, if possible, with this lesson?
Yeah.
Tomorrow night?
Yeah, if possible.
Hey, brother, if you want to do it tomorrow night, you can do it tomorrow night. How about that?
Heck, sure. I took a nap earlier today. I got this coffee with these 14 sugars and 2 creams. You know, in a small cup. So,
ooh,
you know, I'm fine.
I'm sorry. I can't do it like that. I got to ask Ray. Ray?
Papa, that's absolutely fine. That's fantastic. Yes, a part two. Nakomi touched on it with Jesus and Eve, but please come back tomorrow and finish this precept, because I would like to say a few things.
Oh, amen, because like I said, you know, my Bible OCD was kicking in. I had at least about 25, 30 more scriptures I could have pulled up in this thing. But like I said, you know, it's something the Lord puts on my heart, and as soon as he put on my heart, I'm doing a lesson on it. You know what I'm saying? So that gives me time to play around with it for next time and stuff like that, like I did allegory, hubris, knowledge, cognizance, the rest of them other lessons and stuff like that. As soon as he put on my heart, I'm going to do it. You know what I'm saying? Good, because I know he's going to give me something else. So before you give me something else, I want to make sure I get that done first so I can just stay up. No, so I think I got to understand how to little work with me on that. But like I said, as soon as this is over tonight, I'm about to do this lesson all over again and use the right concordance this time so it don't send me off and I'm not paying attention and I'm using the M-I-S-T. M-I-S-T is different from M-I-D-S-T. It's two major different things. But how it brought it up as if they were together. So I got to be careful on that. But yes, we can go again tomorrow night. I'll be more than happy.
Mm-hmm.
Sounds good, brother. All right, well, y'all heard it from the horse's mouth. The closing comment is that be back here tomorrow and get all of it.
be back here tomorrow. I'm talking about, man, we go, you know, bring y'all some pencil, paper, you know, and open up a strong concordance too. You know, so just in case, you know, everybody be on the exact same page, you know, you can download the KJV Strong Concordance. It's free. You know, and you look up one word, you find every last one in the Bible and the diction and the definition. So if you want to, you can download that. If you want to, you can download it to your phone in case, you know, if you got an Apple phone or Android, you know, so we all will be on the exact same page.
What's
recording
is that? It's called KJV Strong Concordance. It'll be purple. It'll be in purple
strong.
with white writing.
Okay.
I'm doing that one for now.
Okay. Well, hey, everybody, let's be back here tomorrow evening, and we're going to finish this precept out. And like I said, man, hey, you know, if you're gonna clean this up and tighten it up, then it can't do nothing but go up from here because we was already there. We didn't know you had more to bring. You told on yourself.
Dang, I did. Well, no, you know, if I see a mistake, because, you know, then that scripture popped in my head. You know, I don't want to up and say something, then I know it's wrong, and then keep saying the same thing. You know what I'm saying? I don't want to be somewhere like that, blaspheming.
Blaspheming. Right.
You know what I'm saying? So I had to, because, you know, if you're sure to me, I'll be like, yeah, you know, in the midst, M-I-D-S-T, is a cloudy pulling, Lord, and show me. I might just fall off the table.
but every scripture that you cited talking about that mystery still was synonymous. You know what I'm saying to what you were teaching. It still was synonymous. So, you know, but like you can do it again. You know what I mean?
I sure will. Be here tomorrow night at 7:00 p.m. Central Standard Time.
Heck yeah.
And then,
no. So I'm going to be here tomorrow, God willing, we live, y'all. Look, okay, so you heard it straight from my brother Isaiah Mouth. Be here tomorrow night at 7:00 p.m. We're going to pick up tomorrow. Is the precept still going to be titled the same?
Knowing how my brain works, most likely no. It probably won't be the same. But since I messed it up and left y'all juicy, I'm gonna draw a picture tonight for the precept too and send it to Sister Rhea tonight. So it'll be classic.
Yeah, cause you know, like your sister said, man, you know that title was a hammer, Jack.
Mhm.
You dig? And that was, you know, that is what it is, man. But however you reword it, man, just let us know. But when I looked at the title, I was like, ooh, that's what I'm talking about. You know, sometimes, man, you know, you can look at a book cover and say, yeah, I want to read this. You know what I'm saying? So,
right.
Yeah, just so before you, you know, take that in consideration, man, take it in consideration. In the midst where Satan dwelleth, in the midst where Satan dwelleth in the garden.
You know what? Only thing that's going to be changed is that M-I-S-T, because that should even be in this precept. So it's going to be, so Sister Will, you can go ahead and leave it the exact same way, sis, but it's going to be M-I-D-S-T.
Right.
Because now that's a whole different, definition.
Okay.
Because mist is talking about a cloud, like a cloud or like a fog or mist. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Or like a smoke. Or like if you're smoking a cigarette or something, you get that smoke. You know, that's a mist. But the M-I-D-S-T means middle, in the middle. So it says in Genesis 3, verse 3. It says, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst, but we're going to say middle because middle means midst, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the middle of the garden, God hath said, ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. So it got to be that he was right center surface in the middle of Eden for her to go and socialize with the spirit. So that's it switches everything up. But you can keep the precept the same. Just make it M I D S T, and just take off the M I S T.
I'm looking for something else too. Yep, there it is. In Daniel's chapter 9 and verse 27, he shall confirm the covenant with many for 1 week in the midst of the week. M-I-D-S-T. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I was just getting a second witness, brother. That's all. I was looking for that second witness.
No,
yeah.
Shoot.
All right.
I was in the comments.
Like I'm saying, that's Bible code. The midst of the week is the four.
Oh.
So, man. Like I'm saying that's why you need to, do you not, when I come and do my class, I emphasize that what? We in the what? The midst. The M-I-D, M-I-D, not the mist, but the mist in the middle. That's where Jesus is always at. Jesus is in the middle of a week. He's in the middle of a month. because that's when you do the, that's when you get Passover stuff, the 14th to 15th. He's in the middle of a month. He's, I'm saying he was born in the seventh month, which is one in the 180s. One saying he's in the middle of a year. He's in the midst. He's always in the midst or the middle. Separating, he's separating man from God. He's in the middle of both situations. He's
right.
Always in the middle.
That's it. Hey, Nicole, me.
The part? Yes.
That make him the intercessor. The
that's
real
right.
Intercessor.
That's why,
because that's what that means, in the middle, right?
That's right. He's called the door.
Okay.
He's called, he's the number door. He's the four. You say you can't enter by, except for by the door. He's the in-between between God. Just like in the creation, one, two, three, the first day, you got God. In the middle, guess who that is? That is the firmament. That's Jesus. The number that's Jesus. And see, guess what? Now you got the earth. See, Jesus is short blocking the earth from being able to deal with God. Then he do the same. Then he do the same thing for and that's what I'm saying. So then when he comes as number four, he does the same thing. That's who he is. He's always in the middle. He's separating everything from the other side. Just what I'm saying. So he's always separating things.
Mm-hmm. You got to come through him to see the Father.
Mm-hmm.
You got to. That's why he said you got to come through me.
That's
and
right.
Anybody and everybody that came before me was thieves and robbers. You can't come
that's
over
right.
the wall. You got to come through me. I
that's
am
right.
the door.
That's
I
right.
am the way. That's right. He is the intercessor between man and God. He is in the middle.
Mm-hmm.
There you go again. Right, Cole.
Mm-hmm. He's always in the middle. He is the separation between – that's why he's the only person that's ever dealt with mankind is because he's been flesh and he's been spirit. He's the only only in-between between flesh and spirit.
Right.
He's working both sides. That's why – and that's why in the third day you get God. Everything after that, went to all the way to the Sabbath, that's him. Boom, boom, boom. He's dealing with everything after that. God, him and God, one, two, three, four, he takes over. He the door. He in between that because that's the midst of a week. Boom, boom. And everything after that, he's above that too.
Mm-hmm. He actually came in the midst of the week between Adam and the Passover.
Mm-hmm.
Or is that Adam and the Sabbath day? No, Adam and the Sabbath day. He came in the midst of that because he came on right at the beginning of the fifth day or at the end of the fourth.
So he's always in between. That's why you see in Passover. Passover is you got the 14th and the 15th. That's 2 months because things go by sevens and things go by threes or months. The 30 that 15 is God. That 14. That's the sun. I mean, that's the moon. That's I'm saying. That's the middle of that. That's why Passover in them is like that. Jesus is always in the midst,
right.
In the middle of everything.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
That see,
that's
sense,
like his
brother.
Birth. When you get tabernacles and all of that stuff. Okay. I'm saying Jesus was born in the seventh month. That's the middle. He's always there. Anything got to do with time and in the middle of time, there's Jesus.
Daniel,
hey,
can I tap on some more of that light code? Cause see, that would make John that would make John a one because he was the one that actually ushered in Christ, so he would be
that's
the
right.
light or form of the
that's
word.
What that, that's there goes Matthew chapter 3. Then the light code that he's the one. He's playing God. He's playing the Father's part. He's the number one. Remember, he's preaching at the beginning. What's the beginning in the creation? Is the Word. What did he bring? He came preaching. That's the one. Jesus got baptized. That's two. Then you got Jesus went to the wilderness. That's the three. Jesus became the light himself on what? The fourth day. Just like in the fourth day in the creation, he became the light of the world. Then the five, you got, and said, then at five, he picked up his disciples. They were fishers of men. That's the water in the blood. And they were fishers. Then you got day six.
Yep.
He said, you are the salt of the earth, because man came from the earth. Then right after that, what he say? You are the light of the world. That's the Sabbath light code, 147. All the stuff going wrong. John the Baptist is the light. He is the number one.
Amen.
Amen,
Nicole.
Amen.
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 If I'm saying, Matthew's chapter 3 going into chapter 5 ain't nothing but the creation.
Amen.
So, Nakomi, just to bring this up, that makes it only stand and make it reason. It only make it reason to stand to reason that John the Baptist was born during the time of the Passover.
Yes, he
which
was.
Which would be the month of Abib.
He is. He's born, like I said,
right.
He even tell you that he's 6 months older than him. All of that stuff going to line up all the way. I'm saying the Bible code, so if people can say whatever they want to, it's foolproof. It's going to line up with everything.
Yeah, do.
Amen.
Yeah, do.
Amen.
You said it right. It's foolproof. Not fool. F-O-O-L proof. It's foolproof. That's what's up.
You can't get it. This thing is all about numbers. You can't get around the numbers. You can't get around the numbers no matter how you do it. Because everything's coming from a calendar. This whole time thing is about math. But it's a math of time. It's all about the math of time.
Correct.
You know what, Jew, when I was sitting down before the Father had allowed you to bring that code, I used to tell Ray, I said, Ray, we're in a clock. It's like we're in a giant clock. And each it's like you got the year clock, then you got the month clock, then you got the day clock. Then you got the hour clock. Then you got the minute clock. Then you got the second clock. Then you got the 100th of a second clock. And then you got the microseconds and so forth. It's like you
Joe,
in this
I'm
giant
sure, Joe,
clock.
Joe, check this out. Joe, check this out. How many days is this whole situation from creation till we meet God? How many days is that?
Till we meet who? The Father, Jesus.
The Father.
Oh, 14.
14. Guess what? I figured that this out with the Bible calendar. Okay, you know
there it is.
Them is weeks. No, check this out. Them weeks. A month is. I'm saying on the Bible calendar, 4 weeks is a month, right?
Right.
Right. Two.
Okay.
Eight is 2 months, right? Right?
Okay. Right?
Three is, I'm saying 12 is 3 months, right? Hello?
Okay. Right.
And then, okay, after that, how many weeks you got left? 2, 3.5 weeks. Jesus, all day long, 3.5 weeks.
Whoa. Still there, still in the middle.
Whoa.
3.5 weeks.
Say that, bro.
Yep, you're still right there. Wow.
All this is time. All of it is time if you just can see it.
And you know what, bro? One thing that when you know, the Father been teaching us, and when we've been dealing with the prophetic calendar, when the Lord first opened that 180-day up thing to us and the Jubilees, when he first opened that up to us, I didn't know that it was going to lead to the fact that anybody talking about the earth is flat would be out of order, because time is circular and it's around all of us. So it's impossible for the earth to be flat because the earth is in water. And what do water do to stone? It smooths it out. And so what is time doing? What did time do with all the planets out here? It smoothed it out and made everything round. Turned them all into balls. Why? Because they all in water. Why? Because you in the sands of time.
time everywhere.
I'm a flat earther, so we just gonna leave that alone.
Until the Sabbath. Yeah, you better be here on the Sabbath because I'm gonna do a little bit about that. But anyway, dealing with time and the you know how the time like you got time itself. You got 1 o'clock. No, you got 12 o'clock, 6 o'clock. You got 9 o'clock and 3 o'clock. Okay, what do time do? It goes around. But no matter where you go, time is everywhere. So you are actually walking in a ball in time. You see? So there's no such thing as time warp. It's like a wheel. If it's a flat, it's warped. So that'll make a time warp. But there's no such thing as that. Time is consistent. Yes, sir. So it's just a man. This is a beautiful thing, and that thing like bro, you got to come back with that again. You know what I mean? So God willing, we live, brothers and sisters. Look, be here tomorrow evening.
Amen.
So we can pick back up at the in the midst of the garden where Satan dwelleth. You gotta be here for that. With your brother Isaiah Brown, and coming from the Spirit of Meekness and Charity Bible Study class out of Peoria, man, you see that can of whoop? See that there? You see that can you open up, man? That's exactly what the Word of God is supposed to do. It's supposed
right.
to get them synapses jumping off, brother. You know, you ain't supposed to sit up here and just go to church and walk away and say, oh, man, you know, that was a good service. They really sang. No, that ain't what the word. You're supposed to be juiced, man. Your mind's
right.
supposed to be clicking. God is a God of knowledge and wisdom and great understanding.
Amen.
And he created us in his image, man.
Amen.
He created us in his image, man. So he gave us a mind like him to rejoice in him.
Right. Yes, sir.
The word will never come back void. His word will never come back void. So you know what I mean? Like I said, when he do it tomorrow, watch. It's going to be similar. Watch.
But better, and like he said, he was dealing with it from the MIST instead of the MDST. MIDST. And we feel you, brother. That I'm glad you caught yourself, and I'm glad that you corrected yourself. And thank you for humbling yourself and not being full of pride and trying to, you know, like, you know, I'm going to play this one off. You know, ain't nobody, you know. No, man, you actually came clean. And confess, no, I can't do this. I got to do this right. This is the father business, man. That's what's up.
But no, you said it right. Because when he said that, I'm like, well, I'm going to go back and read this. I mean, it prompts you, you know what I mean, to go and do that. Because I was like, okay, he might be onto something, you know what I mean? But it would have prompted you to go and read to see, you know what I mean? So that's good. You know what I mean?
Because our last thing is that he'll do that lesson and be like, oh, yeah, man, you know, there was, you know, Eve was up in this mist, this smoky thing. Man, no, she wasn't. But look at the word MIST. No, that's an MIDST. Man, you know, these all the followers, like, man, you don't know what we talking about.
You know,
right,
man.
Yeah.
The Lord doesn't allow you to mislead his flock, man. Praise God. He put
that's why I love you, brothers,
because
y'all serious about the word of God.
No,
that's
amen. You know, I
we love
thinking,
you,
you know
too,
saying?
Because we got to be serious because of you.
Oh, amen. All the time.
I appreciate that. Thank you.
Yes, ma'am.
But that word really wasn't important. It just gives you a location. I mean, you know, the tree itself is what mattered. I mean, that's to me. I'm just saying. You know what
right.
I mean? Even though it was, you know, like you said, two different words, but point was the tree. You know what I mean? That's just a location, if you say it's middle or whatever, you know?
I love the fact that the Lord has got this gospel out here every night, because we all get bits and pieces. Like you say, like Doris got the fact that the tree is in the midst, right? What I got out of it is that Eve had to leave and go to the middle of the garden, you know, where the tree was. That's what I got, you know.
Right.
And Right. But he was tempted at all points, baby. That's the 360. All points. 1, 12, 3. 12, 3, 6, 9. All points. Okay. All right. So with that being said, everybody, man, y'all already know. Be back here tomorrow evening at 7 o'clock p.m. And we hope we edify someone here at the Sounds of Living Waters. And as we say here at the Sounds of Living Waters, do what?
Read your Bible. Fast prayer.
Reach by the name.
Sounds of the Living Water Radio Show. Sounds of the Living Water. Sounds of the Living Water Radio Show.
We teach the Bible from Genesis to Revelation. Preach the gospel unto the scattered nations. So many people are lost, it's time to be awakened. Come out of this world, it's ran by Satan. Through the Most High's laws, flee from things pagan. Understanding the word of Yah is really breathtaking. Under His love and covering is so amazing. Thank you each day, so now let's praise Him. Do things in unity, you and me. You wanna know what we're talking about? Come and see. It's time to be deeply rooted up like a tree. You want the truth, it will set you free.
Sounds of the Living Water. Sounds of the Living Water Radio Show.